Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmuduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihil karim. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin arduha as-samawati wal ard u'iddat lil muttaqin. Sadaqallahul azim. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Maulaya salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. Respected ulama, respected elders and brothers, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, when he discusses fasting and roza, which is termed as sawm in Arabic, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi speaks about three different categories of fasting, three different categories of roza or sawm. One is the category, he says, that is of the lowest. And the only reason why we mention this is because we need to ask ourselves, are we going to progress insofar as our deen is concerned? Or perhaps that namaz that we were reading 20, 30 years ago, the day we became baligh, after 20, 30, 40 years, we're reading the same kind of namaz. And we know that in Islam, in our iman, there is absolutely nothing like a thing will remain on par for very long. Either we are going to progress or we're going to retrogress. There is nothing like everything remains the same. So insofar as our a'mal, our actions are concerned, they also is either going to progress or it's going to retrogress. As far as our fasting is concerned, our fasting also progresses and our fasting can also retrogress. And like that, every other ibadat, our tilawat of the Quran, for example, that tilawat also can progress or it can retrogress. And that responsibility is our responsibility. So perhaps Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this for us to take stock and to see in which category are we, so that we can better the quality of our ibadat, we can better the quality of our fasting. He says one fasting is of the general populace, and that is the fasting, as we know, that from the time of sehri to the time of iftar, with the niyat of fasting, we keep away from eating and drinking, and we keep away from fulfilling our carnal desires, and we call that fast. But he says that if we take this one stage further, if we go one stage further, we will find that one was the fast of the awliya, the fast of the siddiqeen, the truthful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their fast wasn't just a fast of keeping away from eating and drinking and fulfilling their carnal desires from sehri to iftar with the niyat of fasting. But throughout their lives, they understood that in this period of time, in the month of Ramadan, if I could keep away from halal, then for the rest of my life, I can keep away from haram. For the rest of my life, I can keep away from haram. So they made this effort to keep away from haram throughout their entire lives. And that is, in fact, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that great darja, ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the qualities of the awliya, Allah only uses two qualities. The one quality of iman. Iman we all have, but their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was perfect. Their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was 100%. And wa kanu yattaqun, they abstained and they kept away from guna and they kept away from sin for their entire life. So that is the second category, and this is where you and I need to take stock. Are we fasting the fast the first day we kept roza, or is that progressing? Are we getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Out of Ramadan, is there a difference or is there no difference? When we speak about before Ramadan, ulama spoke about the reason of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may create within yourselves the quality of taqwa. Then Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote that see out of Ramadan whether the quality of taqwa has increased or not. Not in the month of Ramadan, out of the month of Ramadan. That the last day before Ramadan has started, the last day of Shaban and the second day of Shawwal, the day after Eid. See between the two, have I gone closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were they gunas and sins that I have been committing? And was I able to stop those sins and those gunas? And then we will realize that that fast had done some good for us. And then he says the third is the fasting of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, their roza, their fast, was that not only did they keep away from eating and drinking and abstaining from their carnal desires, but Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, insofar as guna is concerned, there was no question about guna, because Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were masoom. They were saved from major and minor sins before the nubuwat, even after the nubuwat. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then they fast in and out of Ramadan went to a different level. That they abstained, their hearts abstained from what is regarded as masiwallah. Their hearts abstained and kept away from everything that is besides Allah. Their hearts were filled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every aspect of their lives, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam's hearts were only filled with Allah Rabbul Izzat. It was filled with the dhikr of Allah. It was filled with the awareness of Allah. It was filled in being conscious of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. That was Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Now Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi notes that that is what you and I is supposed to be striving for. If you look at this month of Ramadan very quickly, I'll just give you a synopsis of a hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانُ, when this month of Ramadan enters, then what happens? فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةُ. When this month of Ramadan comes, in one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam says that the doors of the sky is open. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam says, the doors of the rahmah of Allah opens. And then in one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam says, the doors of Jannah open. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمْ, and the doors of Jahannam is closed. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam and Allah's fadl. Allah's karam and Allah's fadl. Among the interpretations that the ulama have given, I'll just give you one interpretation of this. Is that Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi has written that our good deeds have a magnetic attraction with Jannat. Whatever good we do, it is automatically attracted towards Jannat. And its relationship is with Jannat. So by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening the door of Jannah, by Allah ta'ala opening the door of His Rahmah, in other words, Allah's mercy descending, Allah's maghfirat descending, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawfiq descending, that is added upon that. And then Allah opened the doors of the skies, that Allah is ready to accept whatever ibadat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever ibadat the banda does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking it on. That even the nafil ibadat, Allah is giving us the reward of the farz. And even the farz, Allah is giving us 70 times more. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl. The door of Jahannam is closed. Because when a person commits guna and a person commits sin, Ibn Arabi writes that that guna, its ta'alluq, its relationship is with the fire of Jahannam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He discusses the issue of inheritance and He discusses the issue of the executors of the estate, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That a person that embezzles, the person that embezzles the wealth of the orphans, Allah save us all, the person that embezzles the wealth of an orphan, and with that wealth, with those rands and cents, that person goes and he buys the food of this dunya, and you may eat the food of this dunya, be it the rice of this world, be it whatever of this world, but he is not eating the food of this world, he is eating the fire of Jahannam. The act is of this world. The act of stealing and embezzling was in this world. The purchase of the food was in this world. The cooking of the food was in this world. The eating was in this world. But Allah is saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. That person has fed his belly with the fire of Jahannam. So on the basis of this type of ayat, these ulama have written that the ills and the wrongs that we do, all that relationship is with the fire of Jahannam. Now Allah has closed that door. Allah has opened this door. The shayateen are closed. What is left? It is only now our shahawat. The beauty of the hadith of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hujibat innar with shahawat. That there is a parda. There is a parda around the fire of Jahannam. And that is the parda of shahawat. That is the parda of desire. Look at the beauty of the hadith. He did not say it is the parda of sin. He did not say it is the parda of masiyat. He did not say it is the parda of disobedience. But he said it is shahawat, it is desire. If that desire is used in the wrong way, then that person, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, what is the parda around Jannah? Al-makari. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, one is makruh. Makruh is that act which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. Makari are those actions which we dislike. The actions we dislike is to break our nafs. To break our nafs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the famous Junaid Baghdadi rahimahumullah, on one instance he saw in his dream, and he asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream, that what is the easiest way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The response from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, was simple, leave your shahawat, leave your desires, da'a nafsak, leave your nafs, wata'al, and come towards Allah. Drop that nafs. So brothers and friends, in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these opportunities. Really, it is a month of many opportunities. A month like the hadith, many doors have opened from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one other aspect very quickly. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that zat, Allah is that being. إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That if Allah wishes anything, if Allah makes irada of anything, if Allah intends anything, Allah just says kun, and fayakun, it comes into being. But when it comes to the adornment, the decorating and the perfuming of the month of Ramadan, Allah says that I started from the beginning of the year. Allah could have just said kun, and Jannah could have been adorned. Allah could have said kun, and Jannah would have been perfumed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave that for the hukum of kun. A great amount of care Allah is showing. Allah is showing that I've taken care, O my banda, to adorn this month of Ramadan, to adorn Jannah for this month of Ramadan, to perfume Jannah for this month of Ramadan, to decorate Jannah for this month of Ramadan. So you take care of beautifying your actions. You take care of not only beautifying your salat, your fasting, but your salat and every other aspect, your tilawat of the Quran, your dhikr, adhkar, everything. Take care and adorn it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. If ulama have a difference of opinion about who is the greatest tabi'i, then there are three that they have a difference of opinion about. And one of those three is Hassan al-Basri, whether he was the greatest, or whether it was Uwais Qarni, or whether it was Sa'id ibn Musayyab, rahmatullah alayhim. But Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, it is famously known that he grew up in the house of none other than our mother, Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when somebody asked him for advice, the ulama say about him, that kana kalamul Hassan, the kalam, the speech of Hassan, ashbahu bi kalami Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was very similar to the kalam and to the speech of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi, he narrates that when he was asked for advice, then he said that there are four things. All four things, they are comparisons, degrees of comparison. And if we ponder, and if we make our whole tayyari, our whole preparation of our life within the confines of these four things, then Allah will give us success in this world, and Allah will give us success at the time of our mouth, and Allah will give us success in the year after. Understand one thing, that Allah didn't send us in this world to make tayyari of this world. Allah didn't give us this world so that we may beautify this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this dunya so that we can prepare for our akhirat. We can prepare for our maut. So he says that there are four things that you apply the law of the degree of comparison. One is the act which is wajib. And the act which is wajib for you and I and every Muslim. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ O believers, all of you make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may gain success and you may gain the eternal success of the akhirat. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi writes, the shaitan gives us two dokas. One doka is shaitan says to a person that you are such a big gunegar, you are such a big sinner. Never would any tawbah suffice. So that person doesn't make tawbah. He doesn't want to come near the house of Allah. He doesn't want anything to do with deen or to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a doka of shaitan. The second doka of shaitan is a direct opposite. And that is shaitan gives a doka that you are mashallah such a wali, such a buzrug. That when you walk you on the streets, even the plants make salam to you. You such a wali, there's no need for you to make tawbah. You are Mr. Right in every aspect. And that is the doka of shaitan. So he says that don't get caught in these two dokas of shaitan. Don't ever think that there is a sin that is too big for you. And don't ever feel that that you are not a sinner at all. Because from time to time, we break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi has written a thought-provoking incident. He says, in this ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't take the name of the person. He says one thought had come across one person in this ummah, and he began to introspect in his old age how many gunas he committed. So he started counting those gunas, and he came up with the figure of 36 gunas. 36 sins in his whole life. Brothers and friends, wallah, from the time of Fajr to now, how many gunas do we not commit? How we speak to people, how we use our eyes, how we use our ears, the kind of panchat we make, the kind of ghibat we make, the kind of thoughts we have about people, all those gunas. He says his whole life 36. Then he made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For one sin, 100,000 times he made tawbah and istighfar to Allah. For the 36, 3.6 million times he made tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, the man was not sufficient, the man did not feel satisfied. So, for each of those 36 sins, he began to make namaz. He began to make namaz 100 rakats. And in each of those 100 rakats, he made one khatam of the Quran Kareem. And after all that, he said, I still have the fear that perhaps my Allah will take me to task. So that was the people of this ummah. And then he says, more wajib than making tawbah is to keep away from gunas. To keep away from gunas. Brothers, it is the same story. That the gunas we've been committing 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago are the same gunas we're committing now. If we were vulgar, we're still vulgar. If we could not control our eyes, we still cannot control our eyes. We need to make a concerted effort. We need to put pen to paper perhaps and write down our sins and then try and eliminate one sin as this month of Ramadan progresses. Let us talk to ourselves about it and keep away from this. The second he says, the degrees of comparison that we should remember. One was wajib, the other is aujab, compulsory and more compulsory. The second is qareeb and aqrab. Qareeb, we all have our aspirations very close to our hearts. We all have our aspirations very, very close to our hearts. Each person knows in his business how big he wants the business to be. In the profession, how much the profession should advance. In the trade, how much the trade should advance. We all have aspirations. Sometimes if our aspirations go dead, then we have the aspirations of our children. That never mind, I could not open the manufacturing plant, my children will do that. And it goes on, and it goes on, it's never ending. But he says, aqrab, aqrab, closer to that is our maut. Closer to that is our maut. Some arif billah, some friends of Allah have put it very beautiful, that the day when the fetus comes into the womb of the woman, and when that fetus gets life, it is as though Malakul Maut has taken the arrow and placed it onto the bow. And when that child is born into this world, then that arrow is shot out of that bow. And it is as though that arrow lingers behind that person. And that arrow will shoot that person, in other words, the arrow of death will shoot that person on the appropriate time. Not a second earlier, not a second later. Once our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit a sahabi that was in the throes of death. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a Nabi of Allah. He sees Hazrat Malakul Maut standing. And how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes it, behind the head of that person. Behind the head of the person. Allah's Nabi rahmatul lil alameen, he says to Malakul Maut, O Malakul Maut, have mercy upon this ummati of mine. When you're extracting his soul, do it with kindness and compassion. Malakul Maut says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day, 5 times a day, I have the opportunity of judging each and every person. And that is the criteria by which I will extract the ruh, by that 5 times a day. We have monitoring systems in our businesses, in our educational institutions, etc. The monitoring system of Allah is Malakul Maut. So he says, be careful that you may have your aspirations that will never get fulfilled. But this aqrab closer to you is obviously your own maut. And then he says the next two things very, very quickly. One is ajib and one is ajab. Ajib is something that is strange. Strange is the cycle of life. People were young before, and we were little children. We became youngsters and they grew old. And then we become a bit older and they leave this world. And we see how this metamorphosis of life and the cycle of life carries on. But ajab, even more strange, stranger is this, that we do not take heed. How many a janaza we have attended? How many a ghusl we have gone to? How many a kafan have we put on? How many a times have we stood in the qabristan and saw that mayyat go down? Young and old, male and female, wealthy and not so wealthy, but we have never taken heed. And these are the words of Hasan al-Basri, and he says the last is sa'ab and as'ab. Sa'ab means difficult and as'ab means more difficult. Sa'ab, he says, to live this world, with the condition of sabr may be difficult. But if we remove sabr from our lives, life will become even more difficult. Then we will forget that conditions come to us from Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat and all our tilawat and all our salat and sawm. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever the ummah is suffering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve the ummah of his sufferings. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.